Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coming up on TMS, spayed and neutered, the Bob Barker secret.
Sucked into hooker business.
Don't call me Shirley Sackbutt.
That guy with the needle lied.
Wrecked him. Damn near killed him.
Why can't Mr. Freeze be swole?
Night courts and afros.
Apply for your circle today.
Talky parts, karaoke.
Imposter or antipasti.
Good morning, Las Vegas. In the morning, the news this morning. Good morning.
Conspiring to do nothing.
The Abe Vigoda list.
Same body, different head with Steven and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Stop. If you're tired of bad luck, if you think your life is jinxed, now you can change it with E. David Scott's curse removal. Call this number and follow simple instructions.
It really works. Within 2 days, I won this car in a drawing and $20,000.
Open your mouth and say, ah!
The Morning Stream. We're not toys. We're action figures.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to TMS. It is the Monday morning TMS for January 9th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Nibbitt.
Hello.
That's what we're going to do in the new year. Everything's going to be more halting and quick. That's how we're going to do it.
Yeah, that's right. It's our first Monday show of the year, Scott.
Whoa, shit. Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, because we didn't do Monday last week.
We didn't do Monday last week. A dumb fun thing to point out right there. Hey, it's our first Monday show of the year, everybody.
That's what I did earlier with, so I was just looking up names for no reason. I was just interested in who's still alive but shouldn't be. Sounds weird. But I noticed.
Who's still alive but shouldn't be? Tell me you've got a list like Arya Stark.
Well, I was looking at about 100 years because, 2023, 1923. Sure. There's your 100 years.
Okay, right.
And Bob Barker and Henry Kissinger were both born in 23.
Oh, really? So Bob Barker turns 100 this year.
They both do, yeah. They both turn 100. I don't know how those two are doing it. I keep thinking he's dead, but he's not dead. He's living. Yeah. And then it got me to thinking, well, what are some other people that we think of as ancient or long ago or whatever that would have either been younger or the same age? And I found out that Martin Luther King Jr. and Anne Frank, these people we feel like we only ever saw in black and white, they're from a different era sort of thing.
Yeah.
They were younger than these two chuckleheads. They were born
really?
They were born in 29.
That is amazing. Like if you would have said, hey, who's older, who would have been older, Anne Frank or Bob Barker, I would have said, well, Anne Frank for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
Martin Luther King is another one. Jeez
Louise. It's a safe bet, right? You just feel like you would not, there would be no way that that would be the case. But these 100-year-old dudes are there. I don't think Keith Richards isn't that old, guys. I think he's like in his 80s, I think. He's still like 20
years
away.
Yeah, but he's always the person people go to because he looks like he's
and he's seen some stuff,
a thousand years old.
43, so he's actually a lot younger than that.
Yeah.
That makes him
somebody brought up
79
because they've got that new Night Court show that's going to be coming back. Like it's
there's a Night Court show. I didn't know this.
There's a new Night Court and it stars the woman who played Wolowitz's wife. Oh my, why am I mean, what, I stopped watching Big Bang Theory after like the second or third season when I saw all the jokes.
Sure. You'd seen all there was to
I saw them use the same jokes the first time around.
Yeah, they were all out of
ideas. Yeah, Melissa can't remember.
Oh, the little blonde.
The blonde woman, yeah.
Here she is.
Yes. Rauch.
Melissa Rauch. Rauch?
She was... Oh, there was another show that we watched. Holy cow. It was about somebody taking down a... like a Jim and Tammy Baker style empire. And it was on HBO.
Hmm.
Oh, man. Never going to remember that. Anyway, so somebody brought up the fact that we need a new Night Court because Jean Larroquette is like the only one still living from the old Night Court.
Right. And he's in this. Yeah. Isn't the lady? I think there's a. Oh, no. Richard Mall's not confirmed. He's still alive, but he's not confirmed whether he's coming back or not.
That's right. Yeah.
To play Bull Shannon.
No, Richard Mall passed away. Oh, no. He's still alive. That's
right.
Yeah,
he's still living. I don't know why they don't have. Maybe he's. I mean, he's like 9 foot tall, and when you're that old and that tall, you usually can't move.
He's got a full afro now, by the way, Richard Mall.
Really?
That's amazing. No.
That would be amazing.
That'd be great.
It would be so good.
Yeah, Roz is still alive too.
And Roz is in it, right?
I don't know if she is. Is she?
Is she the little angry black lady? Yeah, she well, if that's her. Yeah,
Marcia Warfield.
I don't know if that's her. Let's see. Here, I'll send you this picture. These people look familiar to you because this is the cast. I don't know who any of these people are except for the one we talked about.
Oh, this is the new cast.
This is the new cast. So here you go.
Yeah, Jean Larroquette, and you haven't sent it to me. You must have sent it to somebody else.
No, I'm still sending it.
There it is.
Sending.
Okay. There it is.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes a second.
Oh, no.
Is that someone we're supposed to know?
Rauch.
The short little black lady over there? She not from the first show?
I don't think so. She looks younger than I would assume Roz would be.
That's a good point. It's not her, says chat.
Yeah.
Well, Larroquette looking pretty cool.
But Larroquette looking great. I like the white, you know, the David Letterman beard on Larroquette.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm down for this. This sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Why not?
Sure.
If it disappoints, fine. But my guess is it, you know, it'd be fine. Is it a limited thing? Are they looking for long-term run? Or?
Oh, no idea. Mm. Now, I'm curious. Oh, the reason I brought this up is because when somebody said Roz was still alive when they were talking about this, I was thinking about the original old bailiff that worked alongside Bull, Selma.
Oh. No, oh, season one, season two business.
Season one, season two.
Right.
Yeah, and I was like, that woman's still alive? Holy cow. I don't know what she's doing, but that's what I want to do.
Yeah, that's a Bob Barker living. I don't know what Bob Barker's doing to be 100.
I don't either. He got spayed and neutered, so I guess...
is that all it takes?
Yeah, just get spayed and neutered. And he had both done, by the way.
Oh, maybe off hours. Didn't he show the people how to spin that big wheel? He would show them, right? He would grab it and pull. You know,
I know the wheel you're talking about. I don't think I ever remember him having to show them. I think he would just move it to show them, all right, you get $1 and you get $1,000 and then you get a bonus spin and then you move it out. And then like you showed the 15 and the 5 being like, if you get on one of these, you get an additional $5,000.
Yeah. And before the show ends, there are too many damn dogs and cats in the world, so freaking get them neutered and spayed. They're everywhere.
There's two of them doing it behind the Plinko board. Come on, let's get these these animals spayed and neutered. I think I might be thinking, True Blood, when Melissa Rauch was on True Blood, was she... was she like a no, she wasn't a like a Tammy Faye Baker kind of thing. I just can't remember.
So if Marcia Warfield was born in, oh, it doesn't say, 54, she'd probably still around doing fine.
Oh, and the other thing I was trying to think of, like, all right, without looking at the plot of the new Night Court,
mm-hmm.
Do you think that the new character is any relation to Judge Harry Stone? Like, do you think they're doing a thing where now they're carrying on Harry Stone with a new character?
It's like her granddaughter, his granddaughter, or something like that. BioCow says yes. I mean, I don't know if it's confirmed, but that'll annoy me a little Is it his daughter?
Okay. Yeah, it's his daughter. Get ready to be annoyed. She's Judge Abby Stone, the daughter of Harry Stone.
Okay. I mean, it's a comedy. I can guess. I can let that go more for comedies.
Sure.
It's a little less. I'm a little less worried about continuity. That's fine. That guy died way too early anyway. So.
Oh, he really did. His Cheers stuff was some of the best.
It was
like
great.
Him conning everybody and then them saying, get out of here, Harry. We got him out of here before he conned anybody. And then they look and all their pants are gone or something.
Yeah, he was great. I always felt like Night Court was an unofficial spinoff for him because he obviously things took off for him on Cheers.
Yeah. That would be a hilarious character. Like, all right, he's the guy who fleeces everybody out of their money on Cheers. And he's a judge.
Yeah. Been a lawyer for years. Finally got moved up to judge. That would have made perfect sense. But of all the, you know,
his book somewhere. I bought his book, the how to win friends and steal their money or something. I can't remember. It was like a
because he was actual magician, right? He did like real magic.
Yeah. He was a street magician and like close up magician. But he also was like all those things that he did on Cheers was absolutely what he did in real life.
Oh,
games
wow.
You can't lose. Thank you. Max Trollbot. Yeah, it was stuff like walk into a bar and put a dollar under a shot glass and tell, bet somebody that you can take that dollar without touching the glass. And then
I need to know more of those tricks. I don't know any of that stuff.
Great. Well, you have to go to a bar to use them, though, Scott. That's the problem.
Is that the rule?
You use them on, like, Van's going to come over, going to take his dollar.
Can I go to, like, next time I'm on Fremont, can I plop down one of those little circles, you know, and...
If you want one of those circles, Scott, you better fill out your application right now.
Because
Jaina in our chat room wants to do a ukulele performance of every Weird Al Yankovic song that she knows and do it in one of those circles. And she's finding out it's a very difficult thing to
just reserve the thing. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Because I don't.
Yeah.
Does the city or the whatever charge for that? They probably charge for it, right?
No, you just have to, I don't think you have to pay. I think you just have to
fill
out an application and talk about what you're going to be doing so they can make sure. All right. Well, we've already got a nun with her boobs hanging out. We don't need a second one of those.
Yeah. We didn't need a whole monastery full of topless nuns.
That's right.
Jeez Louise. Well, that's interesting. I didn't realize there was a process to that. Obviously there would be because not everyone can get one, but, I always assumed it cost money. And I always wondered, how are these guys, do they make enough? Because it's all just people chucking dimes into a can.
They must. I'll bet you they do.
They must. Can we, hey, anyone out there, listeners, or know anybody in that business walking around in like...
A Fremont Street. Like, I'd like to know the dude who does like airbrush paintings in one of those circles, right? Like,
right, you know, right. That's always a draw. People are always watching that.
Wearing the big old mask, like breather, while everybody's standing around just breathing the air. The airbrush fumes. Like, I love that art. Right. I don't know why I feel so great right now and why I'm dizzy, but I want that art.
Yeah, getting a contact cancer is what you get there.
Spend
too much time watching that guy. But
maybe we should put you in one of those circles during TMS Vegas and have you draw cartoons of people.
Oh Lord, no.
You're not really a caricaturist.
No, but also, even if I was, that sounds like a nightmare. I don't know
it
why.
It sounds horrible, doesn't it?
It does sound bad. I don't even know why. It shouldn't sound bad. It's fine. You're drawing people. If that's what you do, that's what you do. But I don't know why. That sounds bad to me. It sounds horrible.
That is Al Green, by the way, Brain Bright. How about I'll stand in one of those circles for a few hours on Fremont, and it'll just be a sign that says, I will roll my eyes at you, $2.
Ah, that's worth every... I'd pay $2. Yeah.
Just, you know, you come up, you put your $2 in. I'm like,
see, now that makes me wonder if they would.
If I filled out the application saying that I roll my eyes at people. I'm a professional eye roller.
Yeah. Would they accept your application? I wonder. Like, because I know they get other weird stuff. It's like, what do you do? I jam balloons in my nose and then pull them out of my ear.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's some weird. Yeah.
I would love to see that. That would be great. You should sign up for it. Use it for like 10 minutes and then give it to whoever needs it. You know, I don't know who, nobody's just waiting around to use it, but just do it.
Yeah. The application process or all that stuff. That's the part I don't really have the time for. Like the 10 minutes in the circle. Great. I could do that. Yeah. Not that I don't already have so many things that I'm like juggling for making TMS Vegas run smoothly and please everyone who attends.
Yeah. You got to please everyone.
Got to please everyone. I'm trying to juggle all these people who are like, hey, I want to do this during TMS Vegas. Oh, I want to schedule this. I'm like, okay, all right. We do want to do that. We want to do that. We want to schedule that. But hold on, because let me get everything firmed up that has to happen. And then we can start like scheduling stuff around that everybody's going to want to attend.
Yeah. And don't expect every little idea you get. Like, if every one of you had an idea of a thing, there's not enough time in that 3 days to do it.
Yeah, but I freaking want karaoke. Somebody wants to do karaoke. I want to go back to that ninja karaoke place that
you go that for
jury,
it.
Jury rented. Oh, you don't have to sing, Scott, but you got to come.
Oh,
you
I'll go. Be there. I'll go. I'm just not singing. I'll never get up there ever. So just
I'm pulling you in for the chorus of Africa.
Hell no. Here's how this will go. I will go. I will sit. I will smile. I will laugh. I will enjoy. I will not be on that microphone. Not even at all. Not even for a second.
What about if I were to do Love Shack? Would you pull in the Fred Schneider?
Oh, shit.
You would now. You're totally thinking about it. Oh, I see this happening now.
I might do the Fred Schneider.
As long as I don't have to sing, I'll do it, Brian.
If all I have to do is go, I got me a Chrysler, and just do that, I'm in.
Yeah, or I'll if I did the Offspring, could I get you to do, you got to keep them separated.
Yeah, or Unter Glieben Glauben Globen if you do a
you'll do the Def Leppard. Talkie parts. All right, everybody, any talkie pick parts. Your songs.
Yep. Oh, I'm your hype man. It's the guy on the side. So I was going, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'm in. We figured out a way. We figured out a way to get me.
I knew I could do it. That was way too easy. You didn't have to like bribe you or anything.
Yeah, because for decades, I've made it clear. Even when I was in China, all these business people were like, "We got to go karaokeing. It's amazing here. It's what they do. It's so cool." I'm like, "I'm good, dude. I'll be at this hotel. I'm good. I'm not going to your stupid karaoke." And those guys got all drunk and messed up for our meeting the next day. And two of them got suckered into like young girl business, the hooker business.
Oh, really?
And then their wives found out when we got home, and they all got, those two guys got divorced. And so I'm thinking, well, I just stayed at the hotel, and I think dorked around on my computer at the time. So I was, I stayed away from that nightmare. But that's not what this is. I got me a Chrysler. It seats about 20. I'll do it.
Okay, cool. I'm thinking I wonder if I could get you, let's see. So if I do Are You Lonesome Tonight by Elvis, could I get you to do the middle part where he says, well, they say that everyone is love is a stage. Everyone must play their part.
I'll do that.
Okay.
Anything with talking, I'm in.
Cool.
I'm a good talker. Right. I just can't sing. The funny thing is my mom says I can sing, but I just don't do it. I ever do.
Oh, everybody's mom says they can sing. Everybody's mom says they should be on American Idol.
That's true. My dad said I should send cartoons to David Letterman's show. I'm like, Dad. Dad, they don't do. That's nothing they do.
For that fantastic weekly cartoon segment that he does.
Yeah. Like, he didn't even say SNL, which at the time had ambiguously gay duo or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Robert Smigel.
Yeah, had a few other things like that. And he didn't ever suggest that. He was just like, whoa, you should send those to Dave. I'm like, Dad, they don't care. Why would they care? I did a couple of letters, you know, the Friday mailbag thing they used to do?
Sure, sure.
I sent letters. They never got read, but I sent them.
He wants there to be a... you know, the equivalent of Jay Leno's headlines or whatever it is. He wanted that for Letterman to have. It's time for cartoon. Hey Paul, you got any let's look at cartoons music?
He'd say over there.
Ah, Dave. I saw, by the way, a trailer for a movie that seems like it's right up your alley. It's called Funny Papers, I think. Oh,
documentary or what?
No, it's a... it's a comedy drama thing or funny pages. And,
let's see here.
It looks like, a bitingly funny coming of age story of a teenage cartoonist who rejects the comforts of a suburban life and a misguided quest for soul.
Okay.
I was on a misguided quest for soul for the, for the latter part of 2022.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, Ron Rifkin's in that. He's supposed to be a jerk. Interesting. It's a little indie movie kind of deal.
Yeah, a little indie movie. Looked like from the trailer, I thought it was like the original story of like a Mad Magazine, R. Crumb kind of thing.
I don't know. Recognize too many of these people. Let's see here.
No.
Rated R. When's this coming? Is this a thing that's
Andy,
out?
Andy Milonakis. We know him from something.
He's a little, he's that guy that's out, like 60, but he looks 12 or something.
Yes. Okay. I think it's out, but not streaming yet.
Okay. Just watch.
Let's I think it's see. Making its, it's doing the circuit. The,
well, that means we'll have it in no time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Oh, I can buy it right now on Apple TV for $13. There you go. I'll wait. Mm-hmm.
I'd wait. Anyway, I saw the trailer for that and said, oh, Scott, right there.
Nice. Got a couple things. I got a second shingles vaccination because you're supposed to get two. And you're supposed to get them 2 to 6 months after you get the first one. I'm about month 4.
Okay.
So it was time. I was like, I got to do this now. We're going to make me redo it.
Right.
And that first one sucked. It was like 8 hours of misery. It was awful. And so I asked the guy at the place, I said, now I've cut some time out for this Saturday after, you know, it was after film sack and all that. Mm-hmm. I go, I'd love it if it was that or shorter. And he goes, oh, the second one's nothing. It's no problem. It's like, cause your body's already used to it. You're not going to have a huge reaction to the second one. You're going to be fine. Plus you'll never have to have one again. Cause you're done. I said, okay, I believe you. I get the shot. I go home. About an hour into it, I start to feel it. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. We expect this to go somewhere between 6 and 8 hours. That's okay. Mm-hmm. I just feel awful and fluey. My skin's on fire. It's just a horrible, awful thing. Mm, it's like a taste of the real shingles. I don't want the real thing. Every can of shingles comes with a prize.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So
pop,
I have,
once you pop, you can't stop.
Exactly. So I keep having this horrible feeling, and it's just kind of putting me down, making me tired. It's like flu mixed with like... I don't even know what to call it. It's just burning. Everything burns. So 6 hours comes.
Ugh.
No relief.
Yeah.
8 hours comes. No relief. We're moving on to like hour 12. I'm like, this is not easier than the first time, you lying bastard at the pharmacy. So anyway, it goes and goes and goes until like late afternoon yesterday. So it's basically not more than 24 hours, not quite 36, something in between. Yeah. And it finally abates, and I finally feel better, although it's still a little, this arm is like killing me, the one that put the shot in. Oof. But man, if this is just the shingles vaccine, I cannot imagine the nightmare that is actual shingles. And I've talked to a few people that have had it, and they say it's the most miserable experience they had in their entire life. So if you're over 45, go get the damn thing, get it over with, so you never have whatever the hell that is. Oh, and also here's the trick. So two of my kids don't ever have to get it. Because they were inoculated against chickenpox. But Taylor was born before that inoculation happened.
Mm-hmm.
So she has to get this one day. Yeah. I had chickenpox as a kid, which means you definitely have to get it when you're older. Or you're just much huger risk to get the shingles. And the shingles is like barbed wire under your skin is how someone described it to me. Who's had it. My sister-in-law had it. It was terrible. So I guess I'm going to say it was worth it, but my whole weekend went to shit. The whole thing.
If it's going to kill 2 days, let it kill a weekend, sadly, than a work day, you know.
No, it was nice though. Cause I was like, this whole week, for the first weekend in like 10 weekends, I have some time to chill or do what I want or whatever.
Yeah.
And it wasn't in my favor, Brian.
Miserable.
Call. We got a call from a listener.
Ooh, I like this. All right, cool. It's
been a bit since we've had one of these.
Call then.
Yes. This is from the number 801-471-0462, and I will let it speak for itself.
Hey, TMS. You guys ever think that everything you have will just be taken away for no reason? Like all the money you've earned and all the friends you have and all the accomplishments you've earned are just borrowed. They're not really yours, and someone's going to figure it out and take it all away from you because... you don't actually deserve it, and you're going to be ruined and embarrassed and lose everything for no reason, but it's always in the back of your mind. I feel like that sometimes. Do you?
I mean, it's basically he's describing imposter syndrome. It's a thing.
Yeah, exactly. I want to drink with that guy in Vegas, by the way.
Right? He's a good drinking companion, this guy. He's
really
good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, man.
I think everybody's had some piece of this, right?
For sure. Yeah. You know, it's less about my money and my material possessions, but yeah, there totally is like, what if my, you know, one day, just my any accomplishments I might have had are gone. Which reminds me, I actually need to accomplish something. But,
yeah. Oh yeah. Note to self.
Once I accomplish something, I'd hate for that accomplishment to be taken away from me and, forgotten. And
yeah. But I think everybody does this to some degree.
Yes, for sure. It's absolutely imposter syndrome.
And, even the most wickedly successful human beings on this planet have moments of feeling like they don't deserve it, or they didn't really do it, or someone's going to come and say, surprise, it was all a ruse, you're out of here. Like, that's just a thing, I think.
So, caller, if you feel like that every once in a while, that's totally understandable. We all feel like that every once in a while. If you feel like that more frequently than every once in a while, then maybe talk to somebody and
wouldn't hurt.
Wendy could give you some recommendations or a book from Amazon.
Mm-hmm. This drives my wife crazy, but anytime I have to get up in front of a ton of people, including that BlizzCon where it was the most ton of people I'd ever been in front of.
Yeah.
Without fail, every time something like that's over, even if it's 10 people or 100 people or 28,000 people, when I get done and I get off stage, my first question to her, was that okay? Was that all right? Did I do okay? I have no idea. Because in your head, you're not really there. You're kind of there. And
right.
You're doing your thing, but you don't know how it went.
Disembodied. Yeah. When I did my thing at the Hall of Fame, Podcaster Hall of Fame, it was like that. I freaked out a lot right before it. I think there's a story out there somewhere of that, but got off the stage and sat back down with the team. Like, did I hit all the points I needed to hit? Did I forget anything?
Yeah, and what's funny is even when Tina, or in my case, Kim, tells us, oh, yeah, it was great, you still go, really? Are you sure? Are you sure? Mm-hmm. Did they really? Because we don't believe it. It's just, it's people, man.
Yeah, it's natural. Yeah.
I think we're meant to be a little self-effacing. The people I don't trust are the ones that are just gung-ho up there and come back and know they nailed it. I don't trust them at all.
You know what? No, I don't. I trust them and I envy them. Like, I wish I could completely look as natural and as confident and as calm and all that stuff as some of the people I see up on stage like that.
But we assume they're like that. Most of them aren't even doing that. Like, some of them.
Yeah, right.
Like again, I've been told when I'm doing these things that I seem like I'm all good. Mm-hmm. But inside, it's like turmoil. Mm-hmm. So, for all I know, nobody ever feels that way. And those who do might be, they're probably a little too cocky for my taste. I probably don't want to hang around those people.
I think also if you did it on if we did TMS live in front of an audience of people that we're sitting there looking at, not just a bunch of names scrolling on a screen. But if we did that daily, every four times a week and 52 weeks a year, we'd get to the point very quickly, I think, where it'd be like, oh yeah, we get up there, we do our thing, and it's no big deal, and we're looking at all these people and we know we did okay.
Yeah, that's true.
We've kind of learned to not disembody ourselves as we're up there and be in the moment and hear the people laughing and hear the reactions and that sort of thing. So
yeah, I could see.
So I guess what we're saying is TMS Vegas, make an announcement. It's going to be a forever residency at the Sand Dollar every day.
Every day, 4 days a week, 52 weeks a year. Yep. Get ready,
exactly.
Everybody.
So, we're be there for that.
We're like the Marie Osmond of...
performing in Vegas in the morning to an audience of five.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't know what awesome...
Including the guy pushing the thing that waxes the floor of the Sand Dollar.
Is that... will that be our venue? You want to just do it
there?
That'll
be our venue is the Sand Dollar, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's new, it's clean.
Yeah, we can't pull in, we're not pulling in the MGM Theater or...
Let's get one where they do a lot of nudity.
The Caesar Dome or anything like that.
Let's get some nudity place, like a place that does nothing but absinthe stuff. Naked people all the time. That's where we want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, September, we got the Sand Dollar. We have it Tuesday night instead of Wednesday night. So Wednesday night is going to be the Arcade-a-thon tourney competition thing like we did last time.
Yeah. But the night before, what will we have in the show?
We'll have the show the night before. And then so that way, Scott and I can just sit there and play the games and enjoy ourselves. And and somebody else, maybe have somebody else run the leaderboard so I can go play games instead of having to be sitting at the bar saying, all right, how'd you guys, who won that game? All right, good.
Yeah, that'd be great. Also, hopefully that place will fix Bastroids Deluxe by the time I get there.
Doubt it.
Because that button was effed. That thing was so effed up. I wanted to play that so bad, and the buttons were all effed on that machine. So maybe they will. I don't know. Get enough complaints, you'll get things done. All right. Hey, it's time for us to play a game.
Yes.
Before we forget to do that, let's do it. Got a pull in Dunaway. It's the half asses. It's Monday. That's the tradition. Right. Sit back and enjoy this as I find all my buttons. There we go. Let's play this button here. While we wait for... Oh, there he is. Brian Dunaway joins us all the way from South Carolina for a little half-asses. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hey.
Oh, hi, Brian.
Hey, man.
Good Monday morning.
Yeah. How was your
what
weekend?
It is.
What'd you do this weekend? Any fun?
Let's see. Did more 3D printing, did film sack with my friends, played some retro video games, rearranged my office some. Ordered a IKEA LAC table so that I can build a custom enclosure for my 3D printer.
Yeah.
You know,
just normal
what
stuff.
What Brian does in the weekend.
Yeah, normal stuff. It's a normal guy stuff, sounds like. It's pretty cool. Living your dream, dude. Living large. It's good to have you here. We're going to play this game. Brian's going to explain how it works, who's going to win prizes potentially, and we'll be off to the races. Brian, take it away.
Sounds good. While I'm doing this, Scott, make sure you log into the game.
Yeah, that'd be good, right?
Yeah, welcome to the morning. Half-Ass is a trivia game. We're actually going to be giving Scott and Brian the answers. I'm going to give them a category and six possible answers, three of which are correct and three that are incorrect. Just lies. Just fake news is sadly what they are.
Yeah.
Depending on... People tell me it's fake news. Depending on how confident they feel with the category, they can provide one, two, or three guesses. But if any of those guesses are wrong, you get zero for that round. Get one right, you get a point. Get two right, gets 3 points. And get all three correct, and you get 5 freaking points for that round. We'll play 3 rounds, and the person with the most points after all those 3 rounds wins the prize for their contestant. Who are these contestants, you may ask? Well, I've pulled members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. Scott, you're playing for Bob, Cliff Clavin's mailman, Finnegan, in Milford, Connecticut.
Nice. Truth. That.
Love that guy. Yep. Brian, you're playing for John Phillips, not Sousa, in Brick, New Jersey.
I hear Jersey!
He lives in a brick and he's drowning slowly.
Oh, geez.
No.
Yeah. Wow.
All right. It's not just not good. Get that looked at. Slowly.
All right, let's get to your first question here. First,
Ibbitt's got his own show going on.
I do. Yeah. It's a show of one, clearly. All right, let's get to the first question here. And your first category is woodwind instruments. Six woodwind, or three of these are real woodwind instruments. Three of these are not. Your first question is euphonium, contrabassoon, sackbut, ocarina, English horn, there might be one gimme in this thing, and French horn. Three of these are real, three of these are not woodwind instruments.
Woodwind interest. Okay, so that's
woodwind
important.
Woodwind instruments. Yeah, that is important. A very clear distinction.
Yeah. I really want this sackbut to be real.
I do too, really, very much so.
Yeah, I think I'm going to choose it. Those are my two. I ain't going too far hard on this.
Scott's locked in.
I'm debating on this one because I don't think it's all right. Locking in. There we go.
All right. Ooh, you both locked in with two, and you both locked in with different ones. So you've selected four between the two of you, which means at least one of those is wrong. The euphonium is brass.
Yeah.
The contrabassoon is wood.
Oh, it is.
The sackbut is brass.
Damn it!
And the ocarina, the ocarina is wood. The French horn, also brass. Your
answer's so the
there.
Ocarina is. Okay.
The ocarina is a woodwind. Okay. I saw you select that one and then unselect it. Yeah, the English horn.
I couldn't decide.
The ocarina and the contrabassoon.
Oh,
I hear you play by going up, down, left, right.
Yeah.
Dadgummit.
French horn's a big old brass bugger, that thing.
Everything else is brass. Euphonium, sackbut, and French horn. So, sackbut, a real instrument, but sadly it's a brass.
I want to know what a sackbut is. I'll look after the show.
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
Ends with butt, and it ends, and the type of instrument ends with ass. Let's get to question number two.
Mm-hmm.
As we go with 0 points. Names that were once more popular for boys than girls in the U.S. So these are all names, three of which were more popular for boys than girls at one time. Samantha, Blanche, Lacey, Shirley, Ashley, and Audrey. At one point, three of those were more popular for boys than they were for girls.
Sackbutt. All right, let's see.
Shackbutt.
Thank you, Adam Driver.
I love that voice.
Shackbutt.
All right. Boy, howdy. Names of one.
Boy, howdy is right.
More popular for boys than girls.
People would be saying howdy to boys named three of these things in the U.S. More popular names for boys than girls.
I think I know two, so I'm locking them in.
Okay.
I'm guessing three. Ooh. I'm going for it.
Go for it. All right. You guys are both locked in. Both of you locked in on Ashley, by the way. Ashley, way more popular for boys at one point than for girls. I don't know the years on these, sadly, but so Ashley is correct.
Like
you
I've
both got that one. Shirley, also more popular for boys than girls. Lacey being the third. So Blanche and Audrey, which you guys chose, were not more popular for boys
than girls.
Shirley,
really?
The actual answers, Lacey, Shirley, and Ashley.
I don't know why I'm so surprised by Shirley.
I would have never guessed Lacey, though. That's weird.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. Weird.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that was popular for anybody. Lacey. Yeah.
But Ashley, I've heard before, like in movies or something.
Yeah.
Ash.
Yeah, the character, the Pokemon guy is really Ashley Ketchum.
That's right. Ketchum. Yeah. Got to catch them all.
And then Audrey, that just makes sense. That's the last name, isn't it? Okay, yeah. I see.
And that's Audrey, not Audrey.
Audrey, Gene Audrey.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, heck, we've got one last question here. I hope you guys do better on this one because right now we're 0 points.
Okay.
Inventions named after a person. So which of these six items are named after the person who invented them? Is it the tarmac, cardigan, bidet, jacuzzi, samba, and battery? Three of those are named after the person that invented them.
That jacuzzi be a real person.
I know, that'd be great, right?
It's gotta
jacuzzi.
Be. I'm locking in three because why not? Right. I'm going all in.
All right, let's Scott's locked in. Oh, Brian's locked in as well. You guys both
with one.
You guys both locked in on jacuzzi.
Yeah, because it's what
like
else
some
is that
Italian
even?
Name, right? Huh? I'm Benerto Jacuzzi, and this is my hot bath. Everybody climb in.
Yeah, that sounds right to me, like Ferrari or Lamborghini. Those are all...
That is 100% correct, yes. Okay. It was Candido Jacuzzi was the inventor of the jacuzzi.
Nice.
The cardigan, as Scott also selected, was named after the Earl of Cardigan, the seventh Earl
good
of
job,
Cardigan,
Scott.
Who I guess liked to be warm. The third one, however, is tarmac.
Shit.
Tarmac.
Tarmac named after John Loudon.
Only need 1 point.
McAdams, who invented a method of
putting down the tarmac.
Putting rocks of different sizes into a surface to make it hard and unbreakable.
What he used
was tar to hold those rocks in place, and his last name being McAdams, Tar Mac.
See, this is what you do.
Brilliant.
If you want to be, somebody said the other day, I think it was Howie Mandel or somebody I was listening to, said, everyone gets forgotten in history. Everyone. Yeah. The most popular people today, in 100 years, you'll not know their names. Unless you do shit like this. You're Mr. Mac whatever, and you put down the tar and you call it tarmac. Or you're Mr. Jacuzzi. You'll always be. A cardigan? You'll forever be a cardigan. Always.
Right. You'll forever be spoken in the same sentence as, airplane runways, basically. Yeah. All right, good.
Larry in the chat says, even Vin Diesel. Yes, especially Vin Diesel. We're going to forget him in 100 years. I promise.
Yeah.
That's how it'll work. No one's going to remember anybody.
Exactly. Right. So by locking in, there's a great strategy, Brian. Lock in on jacuzzi, get you 1 point. That means that you've won the prize. Oh, I never did say the people. Oh, yeah, I did. I said, Brian, Jersey. You won for John Phillips in Brick, New Jersey. Congratulations to John. You're going to be getting a copy of Golf Gang and Railroad Corporation. Feels like for a while we've been giving away golf and train games.
Yeah.
Well, here's another two for you.
Yeah.
Golf Gang and Railroad Corporation. But don't worry, Bob Finnegan, when you get back from delivering those heavy Uline catalogs that I don't know why they don't turn those online, you're going to get to come home and play a game of Monster Train with the Last Divinity DLC.
Mm.
So DLC, so like everybody going home with plenty of great stuff.
Yeah, everybody wins today. And congratulations and well done. Dunaway, you did it. Nice job. Real quick, someone pointed out that Richard Mall is in a movie this year called Sleigh Bells, but I looked it up and it says 2018.
Is it spelled S-L-A-Y Bells?
Nope, just S-L-A. Yes. S-L-A-Y Bells.
It is. You are correct. All right, so great. So it's like
a
horror movie.
Yeah. Yes. Who does he play? Richard Mall play? Oh, Barry Bostwick's in it. Jeez.
Oh, you were saying that he plays Barry Bostwick.
No, he's in it, though. He plays Officer Green, whoever that is.
Great. Ah, nice.
He's the Popo. Hey, Dunaway, tomorrow night we're doing Play Retro. What are we doing? I forget. What are we covering?
We start out with Crusaders of Senti, but we expanded to the 8 and 16-bit Sega Genesis Zelda likes. When Sega almost made at least games at least as good as The Legend of Zelda first one.
Yeah,
right?
The original stuff. Sure.
They tried their best.
They tried. They wanted to go for that crown. They almost did it. They had it within their grasp. There's reasons why it didn't quite work out and never did. But we're going to talk about that. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I've been playing that Senti game. It's really quite good. It's a good game.
God, I like it. I just like the term Zelda-likes.
Fantastic. That's Zelda-likes. Term. It's fun to say, right?
Yeah. It is. Totally is.
So we're going to cover that tomorrow night here at on the live channel, frogpants.tv. And, of course, it'll be on the podcast shortly thereafter with me and Brian Dunaway. Brian Dunaway, is there anything else you'd like to mention or promote or anything at all?
Yeah, I'd like to promote Know You.
Well, you did it. Nice job. All right, well done. We have some time for brief news, and it starts here, right here. It's time for the news brought to you by...
Want to talk about Terriel? Us too! Check out the Diablo Show today, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I'm doing a mini, kind of a lore breakdown of whole deal for as long as we've known him, which turns out there's a lot more going on with Terriel than I think a lot of players know.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
If you're a Diablo fan, you may want to check that out.
I'm sure I've got a Tyrael enamel pin from those days going to BlizzCon and always buying the new set of pins that they came out with.
I have a picture of him back. Oh, yeah, it is behind me. You see the Diablo right there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If it was blown up, you'd see that's Tyrael with his wings and stuff. He's in like a little prayer move. I love him.
Prayer move.
Prayer move. Let's
finish
get to this.
Him.
This here story will start with L.A. fire crews battle a hand sanitizer blaze.
Woo! Mm.
Yeah, this was gnarly. There's photos and maybe video here. It's pretty nasty. Let's see here. Yeah, there is right there. Pull it up for the chat.
Did they sing happy birthday while they put it out?
No, they did not. I thought that was
also
unfortunate.
Once you finished happy birthday, whether the fire's out or not, you're done.
Yeah, that's you're kind of done. So here's what happened. They took the defensive approach to a small fire in downtown Los Angeles Monday afternoon. The blaze was reported around 11:45 a.m. The incident was first reported as a trash fire, but crews eventually determined a pile of pallets containing hand sanitizer was burning. The safest operation is to allow for the product to burn off while ensuring it does not damage any vehicles, they said in a statement. This will help to limit the water runoff, which is being contained by a damming operation. Anyway, white foam surrounded the blaze. You probably thought that was snow. Nope. Fire retardant, flame retardant goo foam unit.
Oh, look at that. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I saw it and went, oh, it snowed in L.A. But
looks like it. Yeah.
Let's see. The fire, which was visible from several miles away, was burning in an industrial area surrounded by vehicles. According to what they saw, no injuries were reported. The cause of the fire is under investigation. If this was 2020, people would be up in arms because we were short on that stuff. But now there's plenty of that hand sanitizer to go around. It's fine.
I hear putting out that fire was pure L.
Yeah, it was pure.
For those firefighters.
Oh, can you imagine the L they went through to get that done?
Yeah.
It's a lot. Here's a fun story. Hospital evacuated over elderly man with explosive with an explosive lodged in his rectum. Damn near killed him. French hospital. Was reportedly evacuated after an 88-year-old arrived with an artillery shell lodged in his bum.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Happened Saturday.
What crawled up your ass, old man?
Yeah. World War II ordnance. Let's see. This is a hospital called St. Musée in Toulon, southern France.
St. Muse.
French publication Van Matten. Sounds like Van Patten. Dick Van Patten. Oh, did you hear who died? The kid from that show.
Yeah, Adam Rich.
Adam Rich. Yeah. They don't know what happened yet, but he's 54 or 5.
And he's young, yeah.
Yeah, that sucks.
That, I hope it wasn't. Bull haircut finally got him.
I guess so. Anyway, they reported the elderly man at a World War One. Oh, I thought it was World War Two. World War One artillery shell partially inside of him.
Well, I mean, who can, from that angle, who can tell if it's a World War One or World War Two shell?
Yeah, you'd have to take it out, right?
Yeah,
you have to get a little closer look to it. It says, let's see, parts of the hospital were evacuated, and emergency patients were diverted as they dealt with the delicate situation. The shell was about 8 inches long and 2 inches wide. Doctors were able to safely remove the shell, and the patient is reportedly doing fine.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
He shot us out the bomb.
Yeah. Shot us out the bomb. Oh, man. Can you imagine having a... I don't want to think about it. I can't imagine having anything all up there. Having to go to the hospital with anything in your hooter, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's why I have an exit-only tattoo right above mine. It's just right there. Exit only.
Yep. That's the greatest tramp stamp ever, I think, that I've seen.
Yeah. Yes. That you've seen. Yeah.
That I've seen.
Yeah. Other news. Taylor Swift's cat is worth $97 million. This article wants to make sure you read at the top. And no, we're not kidding. This is link baity. But anyway, in case you weren't aware, it turns out the pets can have net worths. And one of the richest cats in the world belongs to none other than pop superstar Taylor Swift, whose own net worth isn't anything to scoff at.
Really?
According to the Pet Rich List, which is way more fun title than the Forbes 400. Isn't that the Forbes 500?
Yeah, that's so.
I think they got that wrong. I could be wrong, but I think they got it wrong. I think it's the Forbes 500. They wrote 400.
It's the Fortune 500. The Forbes does have a 400. So
oh,
Fortune
well, shit.
500. Yeah.
Never mind.
It's the other four.
Well, then, now we look bad. So let's see. Swiss beloved Scottish fold Olivia Benson. Thing has a full name.
From Law and Order.
Yeah. It's worth a whopping $97 million, making her the third richest pet in the world. Let's see.
I'm so torn between not caring and I want to know who the first two richest pets in the world are.
I know. Same here. So here's the breakdown. With a whopping $97 million in net worth, Olivia has found success outside the world of Instagram influencing. The Scottish Fold earned her fortune starring alongside her owner in several music videos, has crashed her own merchandise line, crafted. Don't know why I said crashed. Crafted.
Or crap.
Because cats get on shit and knock it over. So it's a dog, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. She has cameos in many big budget ads, including the likes of Diet Coke and Ned Sneakers. What's Ned Sneakers?
No idea.
If that was a dude, I wouldn't trust him.
I think he invented the sneaker, by the way, according to the...
Ned Sneaker.
The half-assed question was Ted. Ned Sneakers.
I don't know who that is. Anyway... Says that it's true. They make a cameo on Blank Space, the music video, which currently has over 3 billion views. So I guess you can attribute a value to an animal if they've got this much exposure.
Yeah, exactly. I hear, that's where she'll write your name, is in that blank space.
Modern human life is weird. We're weird.
The number one and number two, a German shepherd dog named Gunther the Fourth, owned by Italian media company Gunther Corporation, is worth $500 million.
Whoa.
Nala Cat... who has 4.4 million followers on Instagram, has a $100 million net worth.
Now, what does Nala Cat do? Why do I know that
I don't
name?
Know. I honestly don't know.
It's familiar to me.
I'm hoping Nala Cat bobs up and down in a field of stars going from left to right, going...
We could only be so lucky. Okay, Nala Cat has 4.4 million followers on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Guinness World Record holder for what?
Golly, no kidding. I mean, it's a cute cat.
I can't tell what's going on.
Kind of cross-eyed.
Yeah, he is kind of cute.
Yeah.
I feel like there are a lot of cute cats, though.
I know. Inara certainly could have this kind of...
Sure.
Kind of exposure.
Brian, what do you need to get on the Instagram
cat? I need to get on... You know what? There's the Cover Cat Twitter. I need to... switch that over to the Cover Cat Instagram, and that's funny. It's just like
the Guinness record is the first Instagram cat to have over 4 million followers. That's the record.
Okay, all right.
I feel like we live in a hellscape.
I'd be fine if my cat maybe had a $5 million net worth.
I'd be okay if my cat could net me a couple of grand.
Yeah, really. Exactly.
You know? Just pay for my Vegas trip. How about that? Stupid cat. My cat ain't doing nothing for nobody.
No.
He's upstairs right now.
Anything.
He's upstairs right now conspiring to be nothing. To be nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lord of nothing. Ugh. Stupid cat.
Oh, somebody else had... Wait. What's... cover cat is not... Kitty and Nara is the Twitter. Kitty and Nara.
Oh, did you set one up?
I didn't. But we had a listener...
Oh, a listener did it?
Who did for us, yeah. And nice. I haven't put anything on there since 2018, so...
That's so sorry.
Yeah, I need to...
See, this is the problem. Consistency. You got to put it up there all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like, here's my cat looking at nothing. Here's my cat standing there, because that's what they're doing.
Yep. All right. Gonna get on this. Look, I only care about putting stuff on my own Twitter. I'm really bad about it, but I can do this for an aura.
All right. Fair enough. That's going to do it for news for today. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Stephen Schleicher will join us. We got a few things to talk about, including a surprise from Oliver Queen.
I know. I'm excited about this surprise.
I kind of am
can't
too.
Wait to talk about it. Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. We got some other calls and texts and stuff. So stick around for all of it. But we have to hear this song from Brian. What do you have?
Let's get to a song by the UK indie punks known as The Subways. They've got their fifth studio album called Uncertain Joys, which comes out Friday the 13th, coming up this week via Alkapop Records and Bodin Kuma Recordings. Big thanks to Earshot Media for letting me know about this one. This is great. This is a really good song, and I've listened to about a third of this upcoming album, and it's great. They're from Hertfordshire in the UK. Mm. Here are The Subways and Black Wax.
Every transition Digital effect.
Digital effect.
Graphic.
Graphic.
Title.
Title.
And animation.
And animation.
You're about to see.
You're about to see.
Was created entirely with a video toaster.
A video toaster.
From NewTek.
I feel the need for speed.
The Morning Stream. Uncle Ben, say something cheerful, will you?
And we returned. Regale me with the details regarding that song again.
I shall. That was Black Wax by the band The Subways from their upcoming album, the name of which I just said, and I got rid of that thing in front of me that said what it was.
Darn it.
The Subways. Hold on. I want to make sure I do this right. Let's do this right.
All right.
The album is called Uncertain Joys. Uncertain Joys, coming out this Friday from the band The Subways. Go check out the whole rest of the album.
They're Black Wax, I assume, is a reference to vinyl, like vinyl records?
Yeah, I assume so, yeah.
It's cool. Yep. Cool way of saying
it. It would make sense, right?
I like how it sounds. All right.
Licorice pizza.
Strap in, everybody. The Midwest is calling.
Stephen Schleicher. Stephen Schleicher.
Stephen Schleicher, that's the name. Don't wear it out. He lives in Hayes, Kansas, and is here from Majorspoilers.com to talk a few cool things in pop culture, comics, movies, and more. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian. How are you guys today?
Good.
Hello.
How's your new year so far? How's it going?
Yeah?
That good?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that good. Okay. I mean, that's saying things.
All right. I mean, ours has been, it's okay. I don't know. You know, it's supposed to be depressing this time.
It feels like a one step forward, two steps back kind of thing.
Yeah, a little bit. But also just, I don't know, there's something about January. The long haul of January is just kind of a blah thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I think it's supposed to be. Anyway, it's good to have you here. We're going to talk about a few things. We teased it earlier. Let's talk about Oliver Queen returning for The Flash and its final season.
Yeah.
What do you think of this?
The Flash is in its final season, and I think they're shooting episode 9 right now. And Danica Panabaker, who stars on the show, also I think she's directing episode 9. She tweeted out that Stephen Amell is returning as Oliver Queen, which is important because they don't say he's returning as Green Arrow, who died during the Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Oh, right. Yes.
So time travel shenanigans? I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't remember who she was. Now I know her. That's kind of cool. That seems like she's more than super invested in the show if she's directing
Brunette on Team Flash, whose name is escaping me right now.
Oh, is she fast? Does she have a speedy thing going for her?
No, she doesn't. No. She also plays Killer Frost.
Killer Frost, that was it. Yeah.
Killer Frost.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of interesting. Of course, that word got out and everybody was talking about it. So Stephen Amell went to Instagram and said he's excited to come back, and they didn't even finish the sentence, "Do you want to?" before he said yes. So I'll be honest with you. I hated the last couple of seasons of The Flash, even though I did a whole podcast about The Flash.
I know. I stopped watching it 2 seasons ago. Like, basically, the two horrible seasons that you described, I have not watched any of.
It started so strong. It was such a strong beginning.
It was.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was once his girlfriend, Iris, went into the mirror.
Yes,
Mirrorverse. Exactly. I was like, I think I'm done with this dumb show.
That's pretty much it. So yeah, I'm not watching the last season. So I hope this works out with him. Somebody in the chat says that Amell needs the money. I don't think he needs the money. Anytime he makes an appearance at a convention, he literally is bringing home trash bags full of money.
Jeez.
Yeah, he's fine.
And he's also extremely hot and can do that dang ladder deal where you pull yourself up on the metal ladder. Mm-hmm. They use that every single chance they could on Arrow. Like, anytime they could show him doing that.
Is he up to anything else? Has he like moved on to movies or anything? Or I feel like I haven't seen that guy.
He's still into wrestling, but you know, I mentioned the making lots of money at shows. I think he is one of the creators behind, and I forget what. I think it's Fan Expo. I forget which series of conventions that he's also behind. Where basically it's you go and you meet stars of different things, and because everything is done as a cash transaction, nobody knows how much money you make from those things.
So. Oh, I forgot he was that busboy that became a male prostitute on that Hung show on HBO. I forgot that was him.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Also, I think he still does some wrestling stuff, too. Like, he did do wrestling in the ring stuff,
Oh, really?
Several seasons ago. Yeah.
What his brother does stuff. Robert Amell? No. What's his?
I want to say Casey for some reason, but that doesn't sound right.
That's the Affleck brother. Robbie Amell.
Robbie Amell. That's right. Yeah, he's also an actor. Yeah.
Well, he's busy doing cool stuff. I was looking at his IMDb. Doesn't seem to be in a ton of things. Oh no, he's in lots of things. He's fine. That guy's fine.
He's fine. Yeah, he was just in that Upload thing on.
Upload is Amazon Prime. It's got another season coming back, and if people haven't seen that show, it is surprisingly cute and fun.
Really?
Yeah, I watched the first season, and it's on my list to watch the second season. I might just have to do it without Tina, because we've got a bunch of stuff stacked up for just the two of us. But
the girl that plays opposite him, I forget what her last name is. Her first last name is Aiello. She was actually a Prince backup singer.
Oh, really? Andy Aiello.
Aiello, yeah.
Yeah.
Is she related to what was their dad's name? Danny Aiello?
Yeah. No, it's spelled differently. just Aiello from what I'm seeing. But is it Aiello? It's really hard to see because my eyes are bad. I've got bad eyes.
Bad eyes. See? Bad. See?
Aiello. Yeah, Andy Aiello.
All right, moving on. Let's stay in DC though for a second and talk about James Gunn some more. Sure. He is actually he's there to be in charge of like the whole deal. He's the
whole DC
Feige, Kevin Feige or Feige or whatever of the DC universe now. But he's also writing an unannounced DC television show. Do we have any idea what it is?
No, we don't. And that's the thing that I think frustrates everyone because, you know, we hear them canceling things left and right, shows not getting renewed, movies being totally deleted for cost-saving efforts. He's supposed to be working on another season of Peacemaker and a Peacemaker spinoff, as well as doing some other things. And he comes out and casually mentions that he is writing a new season of something, but he won't tell us what or what it is.
Is it possible he's just talking about Peacemaker season 2?
It could be that he's talking about that, but I think at this point
they wouldn't say the unannounced DC TV show. I think that he would just say Peacemaker season 2.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Right. And he's also supposed to direct everything from Peacemaker season 2. And so I think that has people frustrated too, because it's like, well, are you writing everything that DC will be putting out in the future? Are you going to be directing everything that DC is putting out in the future? You're a co-boss there at DC Universe. What's going on? And the answer is we won't know until supposedly later this month, when both Peter Safran and James Gunn come out and say, here's our plans going forward.
Plus, he says
today, too, that actually they have a big announcement. Yeah, that basically he's going to announce and lay out his plans for the DCU.
I read something about it being a 10-year plan or something. They're not looking short-term.
I'm looking to see where we'll be able to watch that announcement. I'm not seeing it anywhere. So I thought, maybe not.
I saw something, too, but I don't know what the timing is on it. Here's my guess. I'm just a guess. Mm-hmm. But when he went over to do this, I'll bet part of his deal was, I still want to create and direct and write. He didn't want to just go into a boss situation.
Sure.
So I'm guessing that this is him. You know, he's always been, he tweets all of his stuff. So it's not like he's going to stop doing that. And if he's like working on something new, he'll say it. And then everyone goes into a tailspin because they're like, well, what's he doing over there if he's directing? It's like, I think he probably just gets to still do why he's in this business in the first place. Mm-hmm. And it might end up still being the best stuff DC will put out. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But let him do his thing. It's fine.
Totally. And I was thinking about that. Like, if I was suddenly given the reins to the DCU and said, okay, we're going to have you be the front runner for all of the new content that DCU is doing, TV shows, movies, etc. I kind of would want to, as much as I, you know, I love Cavill, I love Gal Gadot, Chuck what plays Shazam, like all of these actors, I'd almost feel like, thank you, Zachary Levi. I feel like I would want to wipe the slate clean and start fresh so that I can, you know, have a full.
It's a real mix of that though, right? Because the Shazam sequel's still coming.
And so is the Aquaman sequel, supposedly at the end of this year.
Right.
Interestingly, Brian, you are saying the exact same thing that frustrates so many people when there is a regime change, in that, you know, Disney buys Fox, lays off half the employees, replaces all of the people, you know, Warner Brothers gets out, bought out by Discovery, and the new crew comes in and they wipe out everything that's come before so they can lay their own groundwork for their own thing. And everybody, of course, wants to have their say, their control on everything, so that they're not beholden to things that are coming from the past and they're not measured against the things that have come in the past.
Yes.
And so that's the main reason why a lot of this happens at not just these big entertainment companies, but every company around. You know, a new president comes into your company, and the first thing that they're going to do is say, well, we need to fire these people or these things because I need to make my mark.
Let me be clear. When I'm given the keys to the DCU to completely overhaul everything, not firing anybody. I mean, okay, yeah, I guess Cavill and Gadot and Godot and Zachary Levi, but they're going to be fine. Those guys will be fine. I'm not firing any of the people who rely on these jobs and need the work, but come on.
Yeah, the Godot's, big actors are fine.
Godot's going to be just fine.
She'll have other things to do.
As long as she doesn't try and do another cover of Imagine, she'll be great. She'll be
That was a heinous thing. That was one of my worst things. My least favorite things in the pandemic was that. That was one of them.
Yes.
I hated it.
Oh, and she meant well. She did it for the right reasons, but it was just...
No, I don't blame her. Plus, it was everybody. Yeah. I mean, they all looked dumb. It was just
They
dumb.
Really did, yeah.
This was so tone deaf.
Really was.
All right. There's that. Let's talk about McFarlane Toys, always making cool stuff, and they released a Mr. Freeze action figure that is damned impressive. This looks great. Yeah, let me pull this up.
I don't know what to say. I mean, McFarlane Toys for years has been the top dog when it comes to action figures. Certainly, you can look at Hot Toys that do 1/6 scale figures and a Gentle Giant, which does highly detailed statues. But when it comes to action figures, McFarlane has got it nailed. He goes in and sculpts these things 2 to 3 times larger than the actual action figure will be, so that when you shrink it down, it retains all the detail. And to see this, it kind of looks a little bit Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger. Yeah, it totally does. That was my first thought, except for obviously the costume, very different. But
Right. But yeah, definitely the armor that he's wearing is very different from what people think of from maybe the Batman animated series or something like that. But it's still very impressive.
He's always been so skinny and wiry and stuff like that until Schwarzenegger did the character. And I really like, you know, why can't Mr. Freeze be swole? Why can't he be bulked up and look like a gym bro wearing some awesome body armor?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, certainly there's theories to that. Certainly not something you would see with McFarlane Toys, but in prior years, you know, most action figures would all have the same sculpt. So if you go back and look at your He-Man collection, they all got the same torso.
the same body, different heads.
So if you can just stamp that out, makes it very easy. So it would not surprise me that if you've had a Batman line that's being stamped out, that you would just do the same thing with Mr. Freeze or the Joker or whoever, when in reality, that's probably not it. But yeah, if you like a buff Mr. Freeze, then certainly grab your buff Mr. Freeze. If you like your icicles a little skinnier, then there's certainly other figures out there. But McFarlane Toys.
That's what they do. They make
this looks great.
Yeah, they make beefy toys. They don't usually make skinny guys.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Steven.
Yes.
Over there in the DC universe, you got two cold villains. You got Mr. Freeze and you got Captain Cold.
Correct.
Where do you stand? Should they just get rid of one of those two idiots and just stick with one cold villain? You know what I mean?
This world ain't warm enough for the both of us.
I mean, we've also got a number of heat villains. We've also got, I mean, every universe has multiples of these.
We've got, you know, Marvel's got Iceman and who else? Does Marvel have
Ice Guy. You got another Ice Guy?
D-list ice characters, but why am I not thinking of any of them?
Well, and Captain Cold's kind of D-list now.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Captain Cold a little bit more just because he's a little bit more of a character. And this is one of the things that like Mark Waid did with his run of the Flash is like, why do all of these villains have to be bad? Yeah. What happens if, because of Wally West's good nature, he is able to kind of reform these characters. And so we saw this in the Flash TV show where Captain Cold starts to turn around and become a hero and then goes off to the what's the time travel show. He did that and died a hero. We see that with Pied Piper in the comics and those kinds of things. So for that reason, I kind of like Captain Cold more than Mr. Freeze, who is, until the animated series where we find out about Heart of Glass, that episode where he accidentally froze his wife and everything is driving him to, you know, restore her. Then suddenly you have a little bit more of a story for Mr. Freeze. But, you know, for years he was just kind of like, you know, I used to see you.
Yeah.
Right. I do like
stealing stuff.
The Harley Quinn animated Mr. Freeze, who, spoiler alert, no longer with us, but that he froze his wife. And this is what I think is the real lore, is that he froze his wife because she was dying of a rare disease and he was waiting to thaw her out when there was a cure. And
They touched on that in the what was that one that I always loved and I always forget the name of the damn thing, the Gotham City police one, Gotham City,
DCPD.
They had a whole Mr. Freeze arc in there, and they touched on the wife stuff, and that was weirdly consistent with the comedy version of him in that other one. Well, all right. Look, I just want them to fight. Can they fight? Have they ever done that? Have we ever gotten those two to just toe-to-toe?
Captain Cold versus...
I don't think they've ever fought. They have teamed up before. This would have been in mid-early 2000s. Series. I would have to go back and do some research, but there was a whole thing where like all the Cold villains teamed up, like the Icicle is a villain,
Chilblain.
So where they all teamed up to do bad things.
Wow. Well, sometimes Cold is gold or something. Well, there you go. There's an update on some of the New Year's business going on. And if James Gunn is right, and it's going to take 10 years to see the fruition of the changes they're making, I try not to think about how old I'll be then, but that makes sense, right? You can't do all this overnight. You can't end
up. Yeah, so, I mean, think about it. If you're going to – certainly Batman, they're not going to do much with Batman. I mean, they may reboot it or tell another story or whatever, but Batman's kind of a – we could release one of these every 2 years and we'll be okay. Yeah. But
I hope we finally get – with James Gunn at the helm, I hope we finally get a Batman origin story.
Oh, yeah. I really want to know about the alleyway and the shooting and stuff, I hope we get that. Yeah.
I know. It would be great to finally see that on the big screen.
If they really want to get the pearls falling and bouncing all over the street. Yeah. I need that. Yeah. Oh, please do that. That'd be great.
But if you
another Cold character, that's Joey Chill.
Joey Chill.
But if you think about it, by the time you have a movie that comes out, let's say a movie comes out today and it does incredibly well, but you haven't been planning a series of three, although today most studios plan for a series of three. Let's say that one movie is popular. Well, in order to get the second movie out, it's about 2 years for that one to come out. So that's 2025. Then if that one's successful, another 2 years after that, 2027. So, you're looking at, 4 to 10 years to build a big franchise of movies that are going to be successful.
Yeah, I think it's this is rebuilding time is what it is. It's like when they told me when the Utah Jazz lost Karl Malone and John Stockton. They've been telling me that ever since.
Oh, it's what they've pretty much said the entire season of the Broncos this year.
Oh, it's a rebuilding year. It's like, is a rebuilding year code for a rebuilding 2 decades? Like, what are we doing? I guess the Broncos haven't been that bad for that long, but the Jazz have.
Not for that long, no.
Yeah, the Jazz are actually pretty good, but
Jazz are still playing?
Yeah, they're just not quite there. It's within reach, and then they get there, and they go, oh, shit, and then they lose it. And we even got those cool black uniforms now. I don't know why I'm talking about sports all of a sudden, but there it is.
Yeah, I haven't followed basketball since the Kansas City Kings left.
Oh, was that before your time? When was that?
That was like 78 or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was forever ago.
Aren't they the Washington Senators now or something?
The Generals, that'd be cool. Anyway, so there you have it. Steven, always good to talk to you and catch up. What's going on in the new year over there, Major Spoilers?
We are retooling a bunch of things and fine-tuning stuff. And we are still going strong as we enter year 17. And so I hope everyone sticks with us.
Man, 17 years is amazing. How do you guys manage to have a lot of water around and stuff? Why is that important to you?
Because everybody should stay hydrated.
Okay. Boy, I really softballed that one to you this time. Bye now.
You did.
Well done. Yeah. Hey, we got another phone call to play.
Yay! This is great. Bookending our show with phone calls. I love it.
That's right. This one's about verbal tics. Here you go.
Hey, TMS boys. I'm driving down I-55 between Memphis and Jackson, and listening to y'all worried about verbal tics and this and that and da da da. You know, you get like tens of thousands of downloads, and one person mentions a thing that they notice. I wouldn't worry about it too much. You know, everybody's got these little tics. Somebody noticed it and then thought to write in. Don't worry about it. Do your thing. You guys are great. Love the show. Bye.
Yeah, his point is well taken, which is the person with the tic might be the one who can't stand hearing Brian say yeah or me mispronounce a word or whatever it is. Everybody does it.
Oh, totally. And I would hardly call my yeah a verbal tic, and more like just that's just a thing I do.
It's just
like
a thing you do.
A signature. I do have full control over it.
The rate says both. Yeah, that's a verbal. Both. That's a weird. Both I wouldn't call it a tic either. It's just a effed up way I say things.
Yeah.
But you know what? This guy's right. I take his advice seriously.
Yes, exactly.
Here's one final note. This is a text, I believe. Yes, it is, from a listener named No Name. He didn't leave a name. It says, finally figured out something that's been bugging me for a little while now. The pot metal band, I think he meant, I'm not sure why I said pot, but metal band Ghost. You think he meant hot?
I think maybe hot. I don't know. Maybe they call the kettle black. I don't know.
It's weird. So I'll read it the way he wrote it. The pot metal band Ghost has always sounded a little odd to me. I finally figured out why the singer sounds a little like Weird Al Yankovic. Okay, so I've got a little clip here. We're going to test it.
Yeah.
Let's see if he does. Here we go. I can hear it.
Totally hear it. Yeah, good old Papa Emeritus. Although I don't know who he was for that song. He's been so many different things over the years, but
Cardinal
Copia, Papa Emeritus.
It's almost always like a Pope.
It's like Guido Sarducci these days.
Ghost band. Let's see. Is there a way to see what he's doing right now?
Tobias Forge is the guy's name. Yeah, they're sure there is. Because
all these are.
I mean, I'm sure he's working on another Ghost album.
There's so many Popey pictures here.
That's right. Yeah, without his makeup, by the way, Tobias Forge looks like that guy that always is reviewing ice skating routines with Tara Lipinski.
Wait a minute, I gotta look now. Oh yeah. Yeah, no, he does.
Johnny Weir. Yes.
These guys are Swedish, looks... right? Swedish? Huh? These Swedish band, Ghost? Are they Swedish?
Yes, I think so.
Are
yeah.
They? Okay. Oh yeah, there it is. Not that it matters. I just thought that was interesting. Okay, well there you go. That's you know what? They does sound like Weird Al. I'll give it to you. A little bit.
Yeah.
Not like entirely. Ghost. Still good, right. It's not so distracting.
Sure. Ghost PC. We did an episode all about Ghost on Soundography, and it was one of the biggest surprises how much I liked Ghost. And I think it is a lot because the weird signal sounds like Weird Al Yankovic and doesn't just sound like your typical screaming heavy metal singer that I don't like. That was my Hetfield impersonation right there.
Yeah. All right, let's get to these patrons that we got. We got some new ones. Three of them.
Yeah.
Three brand new people.
New patrons.
New
I
people.
Love it.
I love it. Patreon.com/TMS. We have now welcomed Peter, James, and AM. What does AM radio stand for? I always forgot what the AM stood for.
Oh, amplitude modulation.
Is that it? What was PM?
PM is... PM is not radio. PM is... post-meridian? Post-meridian?
Sorry, I meant, what
FM
is FM?
FM is frequency modulation.
There we go. That's it.
The AM, FM, PM.
Yeah. I lost my mind there for a second. Anyway, James, James, Peter, and AM, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. If you would like to be a part of the fun over there, you can very easily just go to patreon.com/TMS. And as a reminder, you get all kinds of extras over there, including no commercials ever, pre-show content every day, couch parties on the weekend, art in the mail, and many other great monthly benefits that can only be yours if you sign up today. And you can do it on the cheap for as low as $1 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Cheap.
Do it. Come on. You're not going to miss that dollar. You could even up it to $5. You're not going to miss that $5 every month. And it'll mean so much to us.
It means a lot to us.
Like, It's kind of the monetary way of saying, I love you, Scott and Brian, and I want you to keep doing this show forever.
Yeah.
So make it your New Year's resolution to throw us some monthly money.
Yeah. Think of it as a single rose in your teeth as you serenade us.
And if you're like, oh, you guys already give me so much content. I can't keep up with it. I can't keep up with now getting the pre-show and all this other bonus stuff with TMS. Don't worry. You can still support us, and you don't have to listen to all that extra content.
No.
It's there for you if you want it.
It's there if you want it. The extras are there, whether you want them or not. Exactly. So thank you for that. Everything else is at frogpants.com/TMS. Song requests, all that stuff. So go check that out. Speaking of which, probably have one today. What do you got?
I do. This one comes to us from Andrew Helm. One of my other New Year's resolutions is to maybe go get another, go visit the eye doctor. I just got a text from them over the holidays saying, it's time to schedule your eye appointment. Come back. I'm like, I think I might have to.
Do you think you're...
My dearest Brian and Scott, this coming Monday, today, sees my completion of 46 turns around our sun.
Oh my gosh.
Cue the birthday clip.
Oh yeah, shit. Hold on. Love playing this now.
Let's party.
Beautiful. For many of them, it sounds like a real... Is that a real fart?
It's a real fart. That's not that's my awesome. Fart, but it's a real fart.
Well, all right. I want citation. Citation needed.
I can get it.
Sees my completion of 46 turns around our sun. For many of them, I've been a Nightwish fan, and their most current singer, Fleur Jansen, has been their best in my humble opinion. She's done a few covers, such as Frozen 2's Into the Unknown, which even at 46 still feels quite appropriate as I grow forever grumpier as time goes on. Mm. If you could play this or find a great Fleur Jansen or Nightwish cover, that would be awesome. Keep up the great work you two do as my daily listen to work since the early 400s. Boy, it feels like we've been doing it for centuries when you describe it like that.
400 BC.
Have a sausage for me, and there ain't no snow down under, yo.
Oh, I don't know what that means, but I can do this.
I don't either.
I can do the one bit. Wait, that was sausage, right?
Yeah.
Shit, where is it? I have the long one here. No.
There it is. Sausage.
See, still longer.
It totally is.
Yeah.
Absolutely is. I don't know how that, you're just stretching out the tape every single time you play it.
Sure.
Signed Andrew, a.k.a. Asher 77 in chat, the rare times that he's able to attend. All right. Well, let's get to that exact one that that Andrew wanted to hear. This is a single that Fleur released in 2021. It's a cover of the song from Frozen 2, which I still have yet to see. I guess I need to finally watch that.
Is this the one that has Aurora in the beginning of it? The song, what's the name of the song?
I don't know.
The one you're about to
like
play.
Like you said, I haven't seen it, so I can't tell you what song is in the beginning of Frozen 2.
Oh, wow. Okay, so there's a song where she does like a thing, and then the Let It Go lady picks it up and sings it from there. But Aurora does that little bit at the beginning. Anyway, sorry, just a little side note, because I heard it recently. I think that's probably this.
See, what is it? Strange Planet? What's the new one that... that they just released? You got to see that one too. All right. Anyway, hey, let's get to this one. Here's Into the Unknown by Fleur Jansen from a single that she released in 2021.
Into the unknown.
been keeping me awake. Are you here to distract me so I make a big mistake? Or are you someone out there who's a little bit like me, who knows deep down I'm not where I'm meant to be? Every day's a little harder as I feel my power grow. Don't you know that part of me that loves to go into the unknown, into the unknown.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.